You surprised you guys were able to play that far into the fourth quarter against Bosco?
No. I mean, I think these guys worked really hard. They believe, and they've done the things we've asked them to do.
Hello, and welcome back to the Trinity League Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Albano, with the Orange County Register and OC Varsity, and I'm joined once again by our insider, Scotty Barajas, as we dive deep into the Trinity League football season for 2019. We're recording our show on Monday, October 7th, 2019. We are done with one round. The first round of the Trinity League season gave us one heck of a nail-biting, thrilling game in the Servite St. John Bosco. Scotty, I know you took in the modern-day Olu game. You had to be shocked when those updates were coming. Perhaps you were hopefully following me on Twitter, on OC Varsity Guy, or wherever you were getting your updates, but you had to be shocked by what you were hearing as far as those scores from Orange Coast College.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, I think myself and everybody else was kind of surprised on that. Even with the other Trinity League score, we were the Jay Serra Santa Margarita game also was very interesting too, till the very end, until the second half actually. But all the way to the end of the modern day game, I kind of heard people talking about that, and I think that everybody wanted to get home and kind of rewatch that if they could to see what happened. I mean, that was probably one of the most nail biting games I've seen in a long time. So.
Yeah, what a doozy to open up the Trinity League. And just like you said, Scotty, and you've been always, a common chorus from you is about how unpredictable the Trinity League is. And you can't be surprised, but we end up being surprised. And speaking of those surprises, that voice that we opened our show with, that was Servite coach Troy Thomas talking about whether he was surprised by that result and that near victory for the Friars, which definitely was in the balance, where the Friars missed two extra points. They also missed, I think it was about a 40-yard field goal. But St. John Bosco also missed a field goal. So there's a lot of different variables in this game. St. John Bosco also had a touchdown call back. So there was a lot going on. Bosco wasn't happy with the officials all night. And Servite played out of their minds and was pretty composed and seemed to really execute its plan and made some defensive stops. But we're going to get all into that. So I want to, on behalf of Scott, welcome all our listeners back. It's great to talk some Trinity League football with you again as we're going into the second round of league, basically week 7 of the regular season. So we got our second round of 5 coming up. These games all, actually, we have a Thursday night game. We have a quick turnaround Thursday night game on October 10th and 2 games on Friday, October 11th. So just to set the table, we're going to have our recaps and our players of the week from that thrilling round one. We're also going to have our first of hopefully regular installment of lower level scores and some lower level records of how those teams are doing at the freshman level and the JV. And then we're going to preview this week's games, which has got, two just dandies. Actually, all the games are really good, but obviously, modern day Servite, one of the best rivalries in all of high school sports, storied, very intense rivalry. That's going on this week. And then, Jay Serra, St. John Bosco, that looks like an epic game. And then we have this really good battle, Santa Margarita Olu, where this could be somebody's going to try to get a very hard-earned and tough-to-get win in the Trinity League. The loser might have a tough road to try to get the win. So there's a lot at stake in these games this week. So, Sky, let's get back to that thrilling game at Orange Coast College. It was St. John Bosco holding on 27-26 over Servite. It was a wild game. I took it in at Orange Coast College, and Servite never had the lead, but they had chances to tie it, including late in the game. They had an amazing punt block with about 6.5 minutes left that they returned 29 yards for a touchdown by sophomore Houston Thomas, son of Servite coach Troy Thomas. Orange Coast College erupts. the pandemonium's breaking out. All they have to do is hit that extra point. They have a tie game, but they missed their second extra point of the game. And then it got real bizarre where, you know, there was some – in about 2 minutes later, it got bizarre, I should say, because I think Servite forced a there's some quick changes of possession there. But basically, the game ended with very bizarre fashion with St. John Bosco and DJ at quarterback, the Clemson commit. Rocket Arms got three touchdowns in the game, all kinds of offensive weapons at his disposal, and they end up running out the clock and pretty much moving nowhere on the field. You know, as Servite was, you know, taking timeouts in hopes of stopping the clock and getting the ball back, but they never got it back for about the last 4.5 minutes. And it was just bizarre because you have this high-powered offense that just can't move and make a final statement. And it was definitely a sad way, you know, for Bosco to watch, probably the Bosco faithful watching their boys have to end the game that way. That's not the way you want to end the game. You want to, you know, push it to the end, and it's a close game, and let's go make a final push and make the score better. But they couldn't do it, and a lot of it was the Servite defense, and a lot of it was the Bosco penalties. But it was, you know, Bosco struggled with penalties throughout the night. Got a couple big plays in the third quarter, a couple touchdown passes from DJ, but Servite kind of set the tone by, you know, keeping the ball away from St. John Bosco in the first half, which ended 7-6, low scoring first half, and Servite was in it. And I think that was big. That loomed big because the Friars always believe, like, hey, we're right in this game. We, you know, and that's how it transpired. And just Servite kept on hanging around, and it ended up being quite a game. Noah Fifita, 15 of 26 passing, the sophomore quarterback from Servite, for 223 yards and the three touchdowns. He hit his sophomore a wide receiver, T-Mac McMillan, five times for 79 yards, including two touchdowns. DJ, 16 of 30 for 251 yards and three touchdowns. Ugalele, he really was hurt by, especially in the second half, he was hurt by drop passes. Bosco had at least five drop passes in the second half, Scotty, and it was the kind of drops where he's making great throws, but it was those are the kind of drops where high school receivers are having a tough time catching a ball that's coming at him with some serious velocity and a great arm. And I'm sure you've seen it from guys trying to catch Matt Barkley, who had a, you know, big time rocket arm. It's that kind of thing, a guy trying to catch Carson Palmer's. It's that kind of drops, and probably maybe the pressure or just being off. But it was a lot of great throws by DJ. They just couldn't hang on to it. So that definitely hurt him. Bo Collins looked really good for Bosco. Six catches for 114 yards. And Kobe Pepe, high man with eight tackles. Your pick for the league defensive player at the halfway point, he played well. But it was really, you know, kind of a tale of two teams going, you know, Servite happy, almost got the win. Bosco got the win, but I think frustrated. So what was your take on this game?
I mean, you pretty much summed it up, you know, saying that the Braves kind of encountered their first taste of adversity.
Yeah.
You know, and this one almost had that same makings of the Boscos, the Braves opening league game last year against Jay Serra, where it came down to Bosco running out that clock to secure that win, 35-28. And then remember in that one, the Braves, you know, were coming off of another, you know, 5-0 preseason, you know, rolling, you know, then they, you know, they got a Jay Serra team who was on the rise. And, you know, this one quarter had that same feel, except for that this Servite team, you know, was a little bit more inspired, and they actually moved the ball. They kind of carved up that Braves defense. And then, you know, that scrappy defense that Servite has kind of, you know, got after DJ Lito. You know, like you had mentioned, you know, limited to him. He was 53% passing. But, you know, everyone's probably going to be, you know, quick to point out, yeah, that happened last year to Bosco. This is the same thing. They, you know, they kind of had that game where they get it out of their system. They're going to regroup to win the league. I'm not so sure that, you know, that you want to bank on that. What did we talk about last week? You know, yep. That Bosco's going to face that first test passing wise, and that secondary, yeah. You know, that Bosco secondary had their problems with T-Mac, you know, centers and Fifita. And I also was shocked that Bosco didn't get a lot of pressure on Noah either. I don't believe they had any sacks.
No.
They did pressure him. When they did pressure Noah, Noah didn't fare as well. He didn't like that. And then that was key, because you can't give Noah time. And then T-Mac had those great catches, especially that one over James Smith for a score. You know, defensively, again, we said that underman servite defense pestered DJ. And they kind of contained him for that most part. Servite and Bosco did move the ball and score, but it wasn't consistent. And then that brave O-line battled the Friar D-line, you know, more so than I thought. If you ask Jason Negro, it was the refs too, as you had mentioned, with those touchdowns being called back. And that one that looked like Bo Collins had his feet down, but as he brought the ball in, his feet, toes kind of lifted off the turf, and I think that's where I could see the ref not giving him the catch. But it was a bang bang, very close play. But then you look at those points that Servite had taken off the board. That's about what, 8 points left off the board with those missed extra points and the field goal for Servite. You know, that's tough. You know, it's a tough loss. It doesn't show how well they played on the field, only the result of the game. So,
yeah, it was, there was no sacks. Servite had two sacks. Tristan Wilson, who looked pretty good at defensive end. He was a pretty active player, senior, who I guess is also a good wrestler. He surprised me because he was pretty consistent putting pressure on. He had a sack. And then yet another sophomore from Servite, defensive lineman Max Cialo, he had another sack. And, yeah, the interception they got, Bosco got, was off of pressure where they got Noah to throw, you know, release it too early or hit as he threw, and it was an easy interception by Newman, which was, you know, a big play in the second half. The Braves, I don't think, were able to capitalize on it. And, and Coach Nigger was they were upset with officials from the very beginning. There was an early opening drive where Servite's game opening drive, Bosco was called for pass interference. And Negro, he was upset with that one, and they had quite a conversation about that right away from the game. The end of the first half, which ended with one of the last plays of the first half was the missed field goal by Logan Loya, about a 36-yarder, would have made the game 10-6. He missed it. Servite ran out the final seconds, but then even as halftime ended, Negro was out there talking to the officials before he went back to the locker room. And as he walked back to the locker room, then the Bosco faithful, of course, were cheering Negro as he's fighting for his team. So you can only imagine after those couple stories, and now I'm leaving out a bunch of other ones probably, and then what happens later in the game when the touchdown's called. I think it was later in the game the touchdown was called back. But that was, I don't know if that was in the first half or second half. But then at the very end of the game, he was also getting to the officials at the, you know, game was pretty much over and the sides are, people are walking onto the field, and he was upset about the officials. And I'm pretty sure that's what he alluded to in my post-game interview with him when he was talking about coming into Orange County. It's tough for him to do it. It's hard for the Bosco he says for them to come into Orange County. I think that's what he's kind of talking about is officiating. Do you kind of think that's what he was probably talking about?
Possibly so. I know we've always talked about that Modern Day and them always seem to get the brunt end of the penalties because they're so over aggressive. And I will say this though, the Modern Day team of this year has improved.
Yeah.
The penalties, they're still getting some, but they're not nothing like they were last year. So, you know, it's more or less, you know, it's combined of, you know, discipline on some of them for most part. I don't know, you know, if you're saying you're coming in, you know, we talked about the home, you know, cooking, if that's what he's talking about coming into Orange County. I don't know. There was a joke going around that the official even threw a flag on him at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He said he was
done
with them. Oh, he did.
They did.
So whatever, I don't know what the purpose of that does when you throw a flag at the end of the game.
Yeah.
It is tough when, you know, you get those calls where they don't, you know, they seem to go, you know, don't go your way, or it's one-sided. This game, it seemed to be, you knew which way this game was going to go. Like you said, the first play of the game, I believe, was a sack on DJ.
Yeah.
It was Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there kind of said, okay, that's what, you know, in hindsight, but you didn't know if that was going to, you know, be just a one. But look, that alone, when was the last time that a Bosco-led team has gotten sacked on a first play of the game? So, you know, and then they you know, then Logan Loya, who misses that field goal, you know, they have, you know, it just seemed that whole night everything wasn't supposed to go their way. But that's the way they play the games. And, we've seen these good teams having to face adversity and fight and battle and, you know, come back from that. And they obviously did, as even though it wasn't as – as like they wanted to play it. So
yeah, and they, you know, give them credit for winning the game, and you know, the they dealt with some adversity, which I think is good for a football team. I mentioned that to Coach Negro. So speaking of Coach Negro, here is Coach Negro on afterwards talking to me after this 27-26 victory. What do you think of that game, Jason? That was, you guys won a tough game. You guys got some adversity, which is always good for a football team.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we hadn't played in a real close game this year, and I thought, you know, we did a pretty good job overcoming a lot of stuff tonight. Certainly wasn't pretty, but at the end of the day, we got a win in this league. Yeah. You know, that's a good football team. So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, we got to win, and, you know, we got to clean some things up. But, you know, to come down to Orange County and win a game is not easy for us. And it's been that way for years, but we overcame a lot tonight.
And you know the Trinity League, right? I mean, it can be unpredictable. Yeah. I mean, are you surprised it was like this?
No, not at all. I mean, they're really good on offense. So we knew they were going to try to keep the ball out of our hands, which they did in the first half. And, you know, they're very efficient with what they do. And at the end of the day, we didn't get enough stops in the first half and kind of put us behind the eight ball.
All right, Scotty, let's get our players of the game from this this thriller from Servant. I went my players of the game here were both the quarterbacks. I went with DJ Uiagalelei for his 250 yards passing, three touchdowns. Could have been a much better performance if it wasn't, you know, stat-wise. He could have been, you know, 21 of, you know, 30 if it wasn't for those drops. And then, of course, I went with Noah Fifita, sophomore quarterback, with his 223 yards, three touchdowns, threw two to T-Mac, one to Zedekiah Centers. And I will say this about T-Mac. They... You know, it was just begging to they were playing him one-on-one coverage, Scotty, and it just seems like if they're just, and they did it, and they kept going back to him some third downs, but he was just a tough matchup where you just knew if they throw it up to him with that one-on-one coverage, he's probably going to come down with it, because the guy is, you know, he's a great athlete, plays volleyball, and he can high point it, as you've mentioned. It's just not a good matchup out there one-on-one with. I don't think Bosco had anybody who could, you know, go out and jump him for a ball.
Yeah, I noticed that they had a Hudson out there on a few plays.
Yeah.
And but most of them, I think the big catches were on Smith, and he's a Washington commit. But I know, you know, there's been some, you know, he's kind of, you know, raw. You know, I don't know if he's like a true corner, but we all know, like, you know, what happened in the summertime when Bosco was, you know, they struggled in the passing league with the, and do you remember the Michivio tournament? It
right.
was 27-26. It was, or I think it was 28-27 was the final in that semifinal game. Bosco had to go, Servant had to go for two and didn't get it, you know, so here and they played this game, you know, how close it was right there. So just kind of interesting there. So in my player of the week, For Bosco, I had Kobe Pepe. He was kind of he didn't get any sacks, but like I said, he was the high man for tackles. He had a one tackle for a loss. My honorable mention, I went with Bo Collins.
Yeah.
And then for Servite, I went with Noah Fifita. And then my honorable mention, I'm actually going to go with, you know, I thought about this, the O-line, Servite O-line, because they didn't give up any sacks. And, you know, to that Bosco defensive front, and that's kind of crazy. So, and then, you know, of course, Ortina and T-Mac with his, you know, catches, and his big catches that he only had five catches, but those were big ones that he did make. So,
yeah. And I this is my first time seeing both these teams live this season. And I thought Bo Collins looked good too. I think he is big and fast. And, He showed great balance on his touchdown reception. It was like a 56 yarder where he had a Servite defensive back going for his legs and kind of tripped him up, but he was able to keep his balance and get into the end zone. And he was a tough matchup. Those quick outs, he was able to catch those and turn upfield and get good yardage. He's a big guy. He's strong. I like Bo Collins as a receiver. I think he's going to be, I think he's going to keep getting better. I was very impressed on him. What do you think of Bo? I think I've asked you, but what's your thoughts on Bo?
No, you nailed it. You're exactly right, because that's what I said. Those are hard to cover when you have DJ with an arm like him with those quick outs. If you don't get up on top of him, but then even if you do, he's strong enough to get by you. And I think that's what happened on that touchdown. I think they tried to get press him or be up top, and I think he just kind of did a pump and go and got by the defender. He's, like I said, he's only a junior, and he'll get stronger, he'll get better, and I think that's you have it nailed on the head right there.
In this game, he seemed like he was the number one target. I felt like DJ was really going for. Seems like Cutson didn't seem like an early target. Maybe it was he was playing some defense, and then Logan got going a little bit, Loya, but it seemed like from the very beginning, Collins was the guy.
And I think that was a matchup because Servite's both corners, Avinger's a little bit, he's a little bit longer, but I think it's Bates on the other side, and he's but like 5'8", 5'9", so I think maybe that's, they were going up with the matchups. The mismatch.
Yeah.
So
I know, and then Carrington Dennis is out there as well, one of their other top defensive backs. That was kind of the group of probably their best cover corner guys is, Dennis, Avinger, and then Bates. And let's move on, Scotty, and great insight that you had on that game. I'm interested to see what you have about modern day. Going to 6-0, just like Bosco, 6-0, and 1-0 in league. They took down Orange Lutheran 51-14. And you talked about the discipline improving this year of the Monarchs in this game, and that was one of the numbers I looked at. They only had nine penalties for 71 yards. So that was some pretty good focus by the Monarchs. They did a great job on defense, holding Orange Lutheran to only 48 yards on the ground, net rushing on 24 carry, so did a really good job. Bryce Young, typical, very accurate for the most part. 25 of 36, 278 yards, 4 touchdowns. Was intercepted twice. R.J. Reagan had a good game, and he for the Lancers, he had one of the interceptions. And but it really was, modern day staying focused. Back at Santa Ana Stadium, played a lot of big time games. None of the rally needed this week as they had the previous game back east against St. John. So pretty focused effort. I know you took this one in live, Scotty, so I'm eager to hear what you had to say about this game.
Yeah, so, after playing, a solid three-game, stretch, the question coming into this was, how did the Monarchs play out, this one, knowing what it looks like on paper. And even though it wasn't the same caliber that they've seen in the past 3 weeks, but by the look of the score, everyone would have thought, they had no problem. But realistically, it was probably the Monarchs' least impressive offensive performance. But defensively, they stayed on par with how they played most of the year, with the first team defense, holding Olu to 181 yards total offense, 165 yards passing. Their starting quarterback Gonzalez was 10 of 19, and he was picked off the ones. They held him to 34 yards rushing. 75 of that passing yards came on one play. They're their only touchdown against the first team. And then Cooper Vanderhill, the Trinity League's leading rusher, was held to 14 yards rushing on 17 carries. And then it also marked the return of Moses Sepulveda and Safita Tupe. So, and they combined for 10 tackles, 3 for loss. Moses had a tackle for safety. Damani Jackson added a pick 6 in the second quarter as well. And offensively, modern day put up 42 offensive points, but none of the scores were big plays. But Kyron Ware-Hudson and C.J. Williams made some impressive all-hands TDs catches on short passes from Bryce Young. who you mentioned, you know, finished 25 and 36, 278,
yeah,
four touchdowns. And then despite getting, you know, the game to a running clock, you know, the modern day offense, you know, didn't move the ball up and out of the field with ease. As they had to work for it. And just when you would think, you know, Quincy Craig and Marcee Yetz were ready to break these long runs and catches out of the backfield, the Olu defenders are right there to make the tackle. And they did it more than one occasion. But the most impressive Olu defender of the night was RJ Regan.
Yeah.
He had the one intercept and he batted two balls away, including one in the end zone. And he had six tackles and he had tight coverage all night. And he also made a diving tackle stop on Cody Epps from scoring a 60-yard touchdown.
Wow.
So on a night where Olu was without, you know, senior standout leader, linebacker Ethan Howard, who was out on crutches with his ankle in a cast. So that's kind of, you know, crushing for them. But now, you know, Olu's probably going to be aided by their three transfers, sophomore running back, receiver Desmond Jackson from Marietta Mesa. He caught three passes for 99 yards in this game, including that 75-yard touchdown.
Yep.
Junior cornerback Demaja Yancey, he's from Long Beach Poly. He started opposite of Regan at corner. And sophomore wide receiver Jalen Lynch from Marietta Mesa. He just caught one pass for 26 yards, but he passes the eye test. He's a big, tall, rangy receiver. So I know those guys will probably, you know, pay dividends for the 400 Lutheran when they, you know, as they carry on through the rest of the week. But, you know, this one was kind of, you know, like I said, it was like ho-hum. You know, it's like having to play up to the level of the competition. That's what we've seen how modern day is. Modern day turns the, you know, switch on when they have to play, you know, St. Francis, when they play, you know, St. John's. You know, they came into this one and, you know, they you know, I'm not going to say they weren't inspired, but it just was a different feel than those games. But they got what they needed to do, and they got out, you know, like I said, with that running clock, and, you know, then they basically get ready for Servite week.
Yes. Before we get to our players of the game, I want you to ask you a little bit more about Desmond Jackson, who you mentioned is one of the transfers. I've already asked Coach Presley about him. Like you said, transfer sophomore, I believe, from Marietta Mesa. And supposedly he's pretty fast, pretty versatile, you know, fast, explosive is how Coach J.P. Presley described Desmond, who, like you said, scored on a 79-yard touchdown. And I guess apparently the route was some kind of wheel route, and he's a running back. So, you know, I don't know if you had any firsthand descriptions you could pass on to me and our fans here on the Trinity League Football Podcast about Desmond Jackson.
Yeah, so he's a small back. He's probably about 5'9", 5'10", 175, that range, but he is very quick. That touchdown was, I thought it was a pump and go. They had man coverage on him, but and then he also had a couple other screen passes that if he would have caught, he probably could have got a lot more yards. But yeah, they lined him up all over the place. He played varsity as a freshman at Marietta Mesa. He only had like close to like 200 yards rushing last year, but he was a varsity player, so he has that experience. But yeah, they'll utilize him, I assume, like you said, like, because he also spelled Cooper, carried the ball a couple of times running the ball. But like I said, he was a little bit more successful, more, you know, in catching the ball. So.
All right. Well, guy didn't remember, and this was the first week as, and I think we kind of talked about, you know, the sit out period, was over for these transfers that had to sit out, and this was the first game. This first round was the first time they could get back, and a couple of them did make some impact. Obviously, some guys that were a little bit under the radar at Orange Lutheran, but now they're not, and we know about some of them. My players of the game, I went with Bryce Young. Like I said, 25 of 36, 278 yards and the four picks. Didn't run. I mean, four touchdowns, not four picks. He did. He had two picks, but he didn't run very much at all. It was pretty much the arm of Bryce Young once again taking it down for modern day. And then I also went my player of the game for Orange Lutheran was R.J. Regan, who had that one interception with a 19-yard return, had the multiple pass breaks ups, also had, like you said, the six total tackles. So I guess five of them were unassisted tackles. So he's a junior cornerback who's having a real good year. That's going to be definitely a feather in his cap and a guy to watch in R.J. Regan. Who were your players of the game, Scotty?
So I went with the Kyron Hudson-Ware.
Nice.
He had some nice, you know, he didn't put up some big stats, but he had his nice touchdown catch. Again, strong hands. He had another catch that was kind of like a short 10-yard, 5-yard out, and he got around the corner up the sideline. He had another 22, you know, a short 5-yard catch.
Yeah.
Took it for a 23-yard gain. So he had a lot of short catches with a lot of yards after catch. He had 86. He had 5 catches for 68 yards and that one TD. So, you know, so I went with him for my player of the week. My honorable mention, I went with Moses and Safide.
Nice.
Moses registered 6 tackles in spot duty. He was the high man in tackles and spot duty, playing free safety and outside linebacker, and he had that safety cause of safety. And then Tupa had 4 tackles, 1 for loss, and he didn't get any sacks, but he put pressure on Gonzalez. And he actually started this game, which was surprising, but I think he was filling in for one of the other linemen who was out game, you know, trying to nurse some injuries. So, and then for Olu, it's R.J. Regan for that pick. The 6 tackles, the 2 nice pass breakups on that quick slant. It was a quick slant in the end zone. And these other one was a long ball against Christian Dixon. And then he had nice coverage all night long. And then my honorable mention is Desmond Jackson with his 3 catches, 99 yards and a TD.
All right, Desmond already in there. So, all right, great job, Scotty. Now, before we break down our last game of round 1 of the Trinity League, we're going to hear from one of the unlikely heroes and standouts. I don't know if I didn't see this one coming, but let's hear from Sammy Green of J. Sarah, who had an outstanding game in the Lions Trinity League opener, their victory against Santa Margarita.
What did Coach Harlow and the rest of the staff tell you at halftime? You know, 7-3, it looked like they were brewing an upset.
I was actually out here.
Trying, forgot.
But when I got in there, I just told my team, like, let's go. Let's pick it up. Let's do this. We're playing for each other. I love you, boys.
All right, so Scotty, J. Sarah, our last game to review, taking on Santa Margarita, the Trinity League South County rival, goes down at J. Sarah was the host on this game, and it was the Lions 35-3 over Santa Margarita. And there, you know, it's one of the best margin of the victory in the first round. You look at it on the paper and you say, yeah, the Lions won by 32 points. That's almost as many as points as modern day won against Orange Lutheran. But then you look at the box score a little bit, and it gets a little interesting, because at halftime, J. Sarah was only up 7-3 at half. So there was that low scoring game and that tightness that I was wondering if that was going to surface. That was the game right there for a half. Where's that J. Sarah offense? More great defense by Santa Margarita. That's what I'm thinking. But no, did that last? No, it did not. 28 points by J. Sarah in the third quarter. It all comes together for the Lions. It all collapses for the Eagles. And then you get that one-sided 35-3 victory. So we mentioned Sammy Green. So none other than the junior. 13 carries for 109 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that's not all, Scotty. He also had 2 catches for 74 yards. And then you'll probably mention how he's probably on some special teams as well, because I know he returns kickoffs or punts. So who knows? But Sammy Green, and it's a surprise because J. Sarah is led by Cal Commit Chris Street, who had 1 carry on Max Preps. According to the stats on Max Preps, 1 carry for 7 yards, and that's it. Got some late-breaking response today from Coach Pat Harlow of J. Sarah, who said Street was a little banged up, and that's why he was limited. But it was really the Sammy Green show. Nick Barcellos did run pretty well with a lot of he was workmanlike, 20 carries for 55 yards. So he was tough and tried to help out Santa Margarita. That's a pretty good workload there. But even both the quarterbacks didn't throw any touchdowns. J. Sarah, General Booty was 5 of 9 for 134 yards. Colt Fulton, 13 of 22 for 124 yards, but no touchdowns for either of the guys. And then defensively, Jaden Genova had a monster game for the Lions. Listen to this stat line, 14 total tackles, two sacks, forced a fumble that was Malachi Teo turned into a touchdown return. So there's Jaden Genova, who I thought looked great in the summer, and he has a monster game here. I think Teo had been maybe shining a little bit more. They're both really good linebackers. Teo's a sophomore, and Jaden's a junior, and it was Jaden's game to shine there. And but there was so Jay Sarah wins their opener. They're 5-1 and 1-0. So there they are in the top three. You got Bosco 6-0, Modern Day 6-0, and Jay Sarah 5-1. All those teams won their opener. Scotty, what was your thoughts in this game?
You know, we've kind of been talking about the same reoccurring tendencies for both of these teams, and they both continue to put those same tendencies on display.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jay Sarah was able to overcome and generate points when needed, getting that win, the boost from Sam McGreen. He scored those three touchdowns, and then Jaden Genova, who had finally his breakout game, recorded with this 14 tackles, those 13 solo, you know. But it was that close at half, that 7-3, where neither team could generate much offense, as we, you know, might have figured with the defensive prowess that these two have shown, which also probably, you know, aided in those inconsistencies. And then for the Eagles, you know, it was, you know, they were finding it hard to generate offense beyond, you know, Nick Barcellus, who was held to 55 yards. And they had a passing game that they only threw for 124. You know, the Lions, you know, their passing game was, like you said, you know, non-existent with Booty with this 5 of 9. But though in his limited completions, they were all over 16 yards. So,
yeah,
you
true.
Know, so they, and then this one, you know, took the efforts of Sammy Green offensively. You know, he gained most of his yards, I believe, in the second half, including that night. He had a nice 53-yard run where it was a nice cutback. He just ran out of field. Otherwise, I think he would have scored. And then defensively, Jay Sarah, you know, kept the Eagles from the end zone. They never seemed to be in danger, you know, with Malachi Teo, Malachi Teo, and Udimo, and Ryan Sualufa. All registered six tackles to go along with Genova's two sacks. And, you know, like you mentioned, you know, he calls that scoop and score for
yep.
one of Jay Sarah's 28 third quarter points. And then on the Eagles' end, it was Mitch Messier. You know, he was the Eagle high tackler with 8, and he also had the one pick. Derek Wilkins and Cole Mahian each had a sack. And then, as you had already mentioned, you know, the Chris Street, you know, he had that. We talked about them having the one carry for 7 yards. But it was interesting because, yeah, I saw in one of the highlights he was on the field late in the third quarter, just coming off the field. So I didn't get to see the whole game on this. I saw bits and pieces of highlight packages, but most, you know, it was just odd. He had no additional carries. So yeah, that's how this one played out.
All right. Well, my player of the game for Jay Sarah was Sammy Green, no doubt about it. I rattled off his stats already, and but I made it a co. I went with Sammy Green and Jaden Genova. Took a page out of Scott Barajas and did a co there on players of the week. And then for Santa Margarita, I went with their junior linebacker, another junior linebacker, Drew Sulik, 6'1", 90 junior, 9 total tackles. I went with Drew. Who did you have, Scotty, as your players of the game?
So I did the same thing as I did a co, the Jaden and Sammy Green. I couldn't give either one of them an honorable mention because I think they both were key in this win. You know, Sammy averaged 8.4 per carry, which is the high because as a team, you know, Jay Sarah's had trouble running, you know, with their, as a team, they're, you know, sub 4 points, not 4.5 per game. So that was huge with him getting that 8 point per carry. And then for Santa Margarita, I went with Mitch Messier with the 8 tackles and the 1 pick. So that was what I had for my set.
Excellent, Scotty. So I set up the top half of the league with those records of those teams. So the bottom half right now is Servite at 4-2 overall, 0-1 in league. And then Orange Lutheran and Santa Margarita are both 3-3 and 0-1 in league. So that takes you through the first round of the Trinity League. So, Scotty, before we get into our previews for this, this next week, the second round of the Trinity League, let's take a little look at the lower levels and how the first round of the lower levels went. I'm going to kick us off with spotlighting the Servite Bosco clashes at the lower level last week, and that was the Bosco freshman getting and the JV getting the sweep. So the Bosco JV in a tight game beat Servite 13-10, and the Bosco freshman also defeated Servite 46-7. So for the freshman team at Servite, that was their first loss. They're now 4-1. The JV with the Friars fall to 4-2. Bosco, they sweep those lower level openers, and they're both those teams, believe, improved to 5-1. The only loss for the Braves JV and the Braves freshman team were against Bishop Gorman. So that's how it went down between the lower levels, between Bosco and Servite. Bosco sweeping the JV and freshman. Do you have any other scores, Scotty, on how it went between Modern Day and Olu, and then also J. Sarah Santa Margarita?
So for Modern Day Olu, Modern Day JV won 34-25, and the freshman Modern Day won 44-21.
Okay.
And I believe Modern Day's, they are undefeated. I don't have confirmation, but I know every week I think they play an odd schedule because there were three games where they didn't play the out-of-state opponent.
Yeah.
And I think they don't even have five games under their belt. I'm not sure. And the J. Sarah game, J. Sarah beat Santa Margarita JV 24-6, and their freshman won 55-34. And I believe J. Sarah is also, I believe their freshman too are also undefeated.
Yeah, so J. Sarah swept both of those JV and freshman, right?
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah, and I know that Santa Margarita freshmen are now 4-2 overall. I'm not sure of the JV record for Santa Margarita. So a sweep for J. Sarah, JV and freshman, and also sweep for Modern Day, right?
Yes.
And a sweep for St. John Bosco. So those are who's looking good. So those three teams, J. Sarah, Modern Day, Bosco, they all swept, and they're the teams that, at the varsity level, that won. I don't know. Is that a coincidence, Scotty?
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's more of where we're at with the the powers of the programs. So, and I know numbers of kids, and I know a lot of these kids are, some of them are flopping back and forth from varsity to freshman. I think what we've seen is what we're not. It's not surprising, at least on the start out the freshman level.
So. Yeah. Well, and each week we're going to strive to bring you some results and keep you up to date what's going on at the freshman level and on the JV levels in the Trinity League. So we're going to see what's happening down at the lower levels. So Sky, let's look at the second round of Trinity League coming up, and it comes up fast here Thursday, October 10th, it's going to be Orange Lutheran taking on Santa Margarita at Tribuco Hills High School, 7 o'clock kickoff. So like I said, I honestly look at this game, Scotty, as the loser of this game could be looking at the cellar in the Trinity League and maybe not getting a win. That's how I, as far as in league. Like I said, we all know all these teams are going to the playoffs, and there will be new life in the postseason for everybody. But as far as the Trinity League, I think this is a game for pride and bragging rights. Obviously, that's how I view this game. I think the winner of them, neither of these teams, Orange Lutheran and Santa Margarita, obviously they're still going to play Servite, so they're going to think that they have a chance to get another W as well, and who knows, maybe get another upset. But that's where I kind of look at this game. I'm going to pick Orange Lutheran to win it. I think they got the I think the young quarterback Gonzalez is playing pretty well. They got some new transfers in. I like their offensive line, and I just think they're probably playing a little bit better offense. Neither of these teams have been terribly explosive on offense, though Orange Lutheran's had its moments where a lot of time against some solid teams, like when they played San Juan Hills, for example, when they played Edison, they did okay. So, and I think Santa Margarita's got a good, you know, pretty good defense that did fall apart in the second half against Jay Serra. But that's my kind of take on the game. What's your thoughts on this game, Scotty?
So in the years past, you know, we probably would dub this one, you know, the bottom dweller Trinity Bowl. But, you know, with that new, like you had already mentioned, with that new playoff format, it really doesn't matter so much other than the fact that, you know, you don't want to be in the bottom, because I think both teams will move on to, you know, those D2 playoffs. So you get your shot there. You know I thought I had Santa Margarita may have had the upper hand, you know, with their defense versus Olu inexperienced offense, but I'm not so sure now. I just, you know, if Olu plays, you know, similar style as they did against Modern Day, and it looks like the Eagles' woes are still continuing on offense, you know, this one might be whoever grinds it out best. You know,
yeah.
We'll, you know, go back to their leading rushers, Cooper Vanderhill and, you know, Nick Barcelos.
Yeah.
With Olu adding a couple of new skills. That's going to be, you know, adding some additional speed to that offense, you know, and the Eagle offense hasn't been able to score more than 28 points. And that was once, you know, in their last four games, the offense has scored 0, 28, 14, and 10. And that 28 came against Stellar Prep. So they're going to have to call on the defense once again. You know, they had Jay Serra to 7 points at the half. And, you know, they do have four defensive scores on the year, but, I mean, that's a lot you have to, you know, put on your defense. And just talking about this one out loud, you know, you probably just have to go with Olu in this one.
All right. Well, that's a little bit of a switch for you, Scotty, because, right, last week you were kind of – and I remember I was, like, surprised, but you were thinking you were going to pick Santa Margarita, right?
Yeah, and as watching Olu – you know, last week I've seen, you know, Olu twice live. So, I just think that, you know, and then diving into the, you know, their offensive woes that Santa Margarita's had, I think that's just, it's just going to hinder him. It's kind of what I think how we had Santa Margarita beginning of the year, because they were, like we said, they had all these unknown kids, and then, you know, they came out of the gate, I think, and I think that Mission Viejo game kind of surprised people because they played to their level. They just, you know, I think when Fulton got hurt, I think that kind of put a wrench in everything, and they just haven't got back on track, you know, with him. So, and that may have changed things. So I, you know, up until then, so that's kind of, you know, when I looked into more of that offense, you know, and I think that just at this point in time, I think Olu's kind of rev back up again. But who knows? It's Trinity League.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
As we found out with Servite Bosco, anything can happen and might almost shock the world there. I mean, that would have been insane. Bosco ranked number 2 in the nation if they would have fallen. But I expect this to be a close game between Orange Lutheran and Santa Margarita. And I'm hoping to cover this game. I think I'm going to be covering it for the Register. So next week's podcast, I should have some voice some interviews from J.P. Presley and Brent Visselmeyer, the first-year coach at Santa Margarita, and maybe a player or two. Who knows? Who else I can talk to down there. So I hope to have a full report on this game, early game coming up on Thursday, October 10th. So now let's move, Scotty, to the Friday games, and let's get right back with those Braves. So St. John Bosco, you know, talking about how hard it is to come to Orange County, and they had concerns about the refs. Now they're going deeper into South County. They're going down to Jay Serra and San Juan Capistrano. That's going to be on Friday, October 11th, and that's a 7 o'clock kickoff on campus at Jay Serra. And I got to think, the way I look at this game, Scotty, is I think Braves got a big-time wake-up call, and I think they're going to be very focused. I think they're going to be looking to keep their composure more. I think they're going to look to come out stronger. And, you know, they put together some passes and some quick strikes and explosive plays in the third quarter. But they started slow against Servite, and the Friars certainly had some of that. But I think they're going to come out with more intensity, and they're going to get the win. St. John Bosco has never lost to Jay Serra in the Trinity League competition. I know that's something that – and I learned of that stat from Jay Serra and Coach Harlow. So I know that Jay Serra desperately wants – this game. It's a pretty good rivalry between Jay Serra and Bosco, because there's a lot of players. There's been a few players that have transferred from Jay Serra to Bosco, and some of the kids are friends, and the coaching staff seem to get along well, but they are obviously very competitive, and the Lions don't like the fact that they've never won. I think that Servite showed the ability to run the ball pretty effectively against against Bosco. So that's going to be something I think that Bosco that Jay Serra saw is going to see or saw already on film. And they, and you know, who knows? You don't really know the question mark of Chris Street, what he can bring. Sammy Green did great, and maybe he can have some success, because. But it's going to be tough to face such a defense like Bosco, which is pretty balanced. When they have good defensive linemen, good linebackers, they have a pretty good secondary, but they're not going to have to face a T-Mac, or they're not going to have to deal with a speed guy like Zedekiah Centers. And they're not having that pass attack with, you know, like you've said, Scott. I mean, Noah, if you give him time, he's going to pass, and he's done that to just about everybody. And they have a good feel of Servite has a good feel for the passing game. Well, Bosco's not going to see that, so it's going to be interesting how the Lions, if they're too one dimensional for a defense like Bosco. But that's a couple of my takes. What do you think of this game, Scotty?
Yeah, so this one has all sorts of story angles, especially what happened last season when these two matched up. And I'm sure Jay Serra remembers that fourth down play in the final minutes last year where they were. I believe they were called for too many men on the field, and they were ready to maybe stop Bosco, and they were going to get the ball back, gave Bosco first down, and they ran the clock out. And, you know, I'm sure Bosco's refocused, you know, after, you know, that Servite nail biter. You know, this one had probably the preseason hoopla, you know, but both teams, you know, have had their moments of, you know, a little bit unsharpness, despite getting away with everything, and they've still been winning the win. What does it come down to in this one for Jay Serra? You know, you made some good points with that running game and being able to run on Bosco, but I still think they're going to need balance, because I think, you know, they're going to have to pass the ball, because we've seen all these teams that struggle to throw on the Braves, and it makes for a miserable time for these teams to move the ball and score points without stretching the field. So, you know, I think they're going to, you know, Bosco's going to try to force Jay Serra to you know, throw. You know, and, you know, Servite's been the only one to do that so far, you know, and they had success throwing on him. So, you know, defensively, can Jay Serra stay with Bosco's receivers? You know, they're going to need help from the pass rush. You know, like I said, D4, I was surprised at the pressure that Servite got on DJ. You know, so look for Jay Serra to try to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, Bosco's emotions ran high last week, so they're going to need to reel him in. Focus, get back to playing clean and sound football. You know, this matchup, you know, Bosco's going to look to capitalize, you know, on the receivers versus, you know, Jay Serra cornerbacks. That's, I think, you know, none of the, like we said, none of the Trinity League secondaries have really been tested till last week, you know, and so now this week it's, you know, the Lions that get their crack, you know, they're up. So I think, you know, this is the one where it comes down to Jay Serra needing to get more offensive balance, more out of the passing game. And, you know, talking solid play without turning the ball over to make this a game. If they do that, they should be in the game. But it's a tall task. And, you know, I'm going to go with Bosco in this one.
All right. And you touched on it. And I'm glad you did. A good point is you mentioned the Jay Serra defense. You can't really overlook them in their importance in the matchup as well. Because if you look statistically for the season, that unit has played really well. The best defensively statistically is St. John Bosco. They're allowing 13.1 points per game. The second best is Jay Serra at 14.8. So, you know, New Zealand, Williams at safety. We mentioned the linebackers playing so well. Some good defensive linemen. That could be an interesting matchup as well. Maybe they rise up and they can do another good job. Something that like Servite did against Bosco. And then you just wonder about, you know, what if Jay Serra is saving Chris Street, and they didn't need him last week, and he was indeed banged up, and they're just going to let him loose, and we've been kind of waiting for a couple weeks here. What if they were just gearing at this game, Scotty, and It's Chris Street, 100% healthy, and he's going to have 30 carries. He's probably going to go for over two if he's healthy and running his well. I mean, he could run for 200 yards.
I mean, I think in height, I mean, that would, I think they would take that in a heartbeat, you know, but that's going to be a tall task, you know. No one's been able to run the ball on Bosco all year long and without having any, you know, play action, without breaking, you know, breaking up that defense to spread them out. You know, I just think that it's going to be the Lions defense, you know, the closest they've seen that's going to be is Calabasas, except for, you know, athlete-wise, but they hammered and handled Calabasas.
Yeah.
I mean, Calabasas didn't have anything up front to contain, you know, that JCR defense. Now, that'll be interesting because Teo and you know, that Nijanova, I mean, they just got after that. He had no time to throw the ball. Now, do they, you know, they were sending the house. Now, do they do that this time and roll the dice and hopefully that they put the pressure on him, but they allow that defense on the back end, because, you know, to match up with Hudson and Loya and the rest of the game, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, how they choose to do that. That's the main thing that I'm interested in.
Okay. Well, very interesting. Like you said, that game has got a lot of intrigue. It's going to be a good one down in San Juan, and I think we're going to know a lot about both of those teams. We'll definitely see what Bosco's made of and how they bounce back, and are they on track? Are they on shaky ground? And then how good is Jay Sarah? What kind of score can they can post? What happens with Chris Street and and that defense, and how good is that Jay Sarah defense? All right, Sky, so last game we got to talk about. Mater Dei taking on Servite at Santa Ana Stadium Friday, October 10th. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. This is one of the best rivalries in Orange County football, one of the best rivalries in the country. And here is Servite coming in. They've really struggled the last couple of years against Mater Dei, but they're coming in off a real confidence booster, you think, taking on St. John Bosco. But the schedule gives them no favors. They're taking on Mater Dei. Here they are, back-to-back weeks. They're playing the number one and number two teams in the country. What a schedule that is. You just wonder if, can Servite continue to play at such a high level? It's tough to, you know, that's the thing that makes the Trinity the gauntlet that it is that you have to do it week in, week out. And they got close. They put a lot into that to that effort against St. John Bosco. You just wonder, can they do it once again? And against, at this point, you might think, well, Mater Dei might be a little bit more disciplined. It is a rivalry game, so maybe they're a little bit, maybe they do get caught up in some penalties and lose their composure a little bit, which maybe seemed to happen with the Braves. But here you got Mater Dei. But it seems like it's kind of favorable to the Monarchs because they, not that they would take Servite lightly, maybe they would, who knows, but they can't really now after they see a 27-26 score. So they might want to send a message to St. John Bosco with a more decisive victory and say, hey, this is how much better we are than you. Maybe they'll get caught up in the emotion. Maybe Servite will play really well. And now it's going to be Noah Fifita completing passes to centers and T-Mac against Mater Dei. But we know Mater Dei probably has better defensive backs, especially at the corners when you have Damani Jackson and Jalen Davies. So that kind of effort should favor to make those matchups better. I still think they're still good receivers. Centers is very fast, and T-Mac is tall and can jump, and we'll be interesting to see how the coverage is. But I think in general, the Mater Dei defense has looked outstanding. They're very fast at linebacker, have guys like Rajon Davis that can wreak havoc. They got some Cepulona back. I think that's a huge addition back. They're kind of at all full strength now at defense. They rotate in their defensive line. Servite's got a good offensive line. Very experienced. Got a bunch of college commits there. So it could be interesting. I expected Servite to score points and make some plays against Bosco, and they did. I would expect that they're probably good enough to make some plays against modern day. But it's going to be how they're going to, you know, can they come up with a defense once again to deal, you know, to handle the modern day offense. And that was my biggest question for the Friars going into Bosco, is how are they going to do defensively? And they did okay. But I think it's a you know, here you are with Bryce Young, a lot of running backs, a really good deep wide receiver group that we talked about, and a great offensive line. Servite's not terribly big on defense. They are a gang tackle. They're quick. They have to scheme. They're not going to impose you with their physicalness. And we know modern day is pretty not the biggest team out there, but they're going to have a size advantage and probably want to get physical with the Friars. But I'm picking modern day to win. I think they're going to be. It's not going to be a 1-point game. This week, I don't believe. I think modern day will play pretty well. I think they got the wake up call that they have to take the Friars seriously. So I think it's going to be convincing Monarchs, not like last week with the Friars and Braves. What do you say, Scotty?
Actually, Dan, this is a 7:30 game.
It's oh, okay.
Now been upgraded to the Fox Sports Game of the Week.
Whoa, okay.
They switched it on everybody. They decided to take the Notre Dame Sarah game and make that a prep zone game, and they decided to make the Servite Modern Day game the feature know that. Game. So that's even more hype than, and like I said, even before, like, the Bosco and Servite game had the makings, you know, of an instant classic, you know. Modern Day didn't need that outcome for it to gain their attention. You know, for Modern Day, it's Servite Week. It's plain and simple. So, you know, I think both teams, you know that. Though it just makes, like I said, the pregame chatter much more interesting, and especially, you know, even more so now that they've changed the game. You know, but we wonder how much is an inspired Servite squad who almost pulled off that would have been one of the biggest upsets in recent years. You know, coming to this one after, you know, kind of still being on an emotional high. I know a lot of people, I've seen chatter on both sides. Bosco's like, you didn't win. Why are you all, you know, happy for not winning the game? You're happy for, you know, playing a good game, but you didn't win. You know, I just think it's just kind of funny hearing both sides kind of banter each other. But, you know, they know that they're going to have to come in expending more the same energy, you know, and they're going to have to play a repeat, you know, top performance again. You know, but now is this one going to play out? You know, the keys on this one, you know, for Servite, he's got to keep Noah comfortable. You know, Servite was able to, like we mentioned before, Servite, you know, kept Bosco's pressure at a minimum. But when Noah was pressured, he didn't do as well in the pocket, you know, or hit his receivers. When Noah had time, he hit his guys in stride, you know, and then they also, and I've noticed this too, is that they connect on one of their favorite plays that they like to get is sending either trip receivers or stag receivers all on one side off, you know, unbalanced, and they send 2-3 guys deep, and usually centers will then come on a 5-yard, 10-yard crossing route over the middle. And they hit that, and they connect it. It's gone for big yards.
Yes, absolutely. Know,
or I think he has 3 scores on that alone.
Yes.
So that's just something to, you know, to keep an eye on. But you know, this one, I honestly think, you know, like you had mentioned it before, you know, that scrappy Servite defense. They are undermanned. They are undersized. You know, trying to get, you know, pressure on Bryce. You know, they're going to have to be creative in how they do it. You know, for modern day, I think that thing is that key on that side is like we had said, is just to get pressure on Noah. You know, I like you had said, I think Servite will move the ball at times, and you know, they will get their catches. You know, what I don't, you know, this will probably be the second time, maybe if, or actually probably the first time now that I'm thinking about it, that modern day defense will probably get tested with a true good passing quarterback. St. John's was a little bit, I mean, the St. John's kid was kind of erratic, but he did hit his, you know, and they did get some passes off with that number one receiver. But now you got, this is a bit more precise passing game. You know, modern day has been all right defensively in the secondary. I haven't really needed to play all that great. You know, I personally think I personally like to see them play a little bit better.
Okay.
Giving up to me a little bit too many plays. Jalen Davis has actually played pretty well, but a lot of their other corners have given up more passes than they've had in last year. And, you know, they got to play smart. And not the one thing that I also noticed that they've gotten a lot of PIs more so than they did. And it's not officials. It's that they're very aggressive in their play. They will get up and press you. And I see, and that's the style they play. But sometimes officials don't, you know, and we have talked about this with Bosco and the aggressiveness. And because a lot of teams out there in, you know, that we've seen the lower levels or whatever, they don't play man press coverage. I think it has to do with basically a scheme. You know, a lot of teams play zone and they back off because they don't want to get beat deep.
Yeah.
But, you know, modern day have always played, you know, aggressive, and that's the style they play. And so a lot of the times they're, you know, you got to use your technique instead of grab, you know. And so a lot of times it's hard, you know, when you play that style, and then, you know, it's here at the aid of the officials who, you know, they're going to throw the flag on you for being aggressive. So hopefully they just, you know, we don't get any of that. And, you know, we get some good competition and, you know, it is Modern Day's homecoming. You know, that's another thing everybody's probably going to ask about. Why does Modern Day, you know, they schedule their homecoming against Servite. Is that a guaranteed win? Because, no, it's just the way the schedule falls. And, you know, people get caught up into that because back in the day when we went to school, that's kind of how it used to be. It was like you always, you know, they always said you scheduled your homecoming against the team you would think you'd get the guaranteed win. Well, nowadays it doesn't work that way, the way they do the scheduling. You got to take what you get on the way your home games are and field availability. So, you know, if anyone's gonna, you know, any cracks about that, that's, you know, out the door. So but yeah, this one should be fun. You know, in this one, you know, it'd be nice because they used to play it in the big Anaheim Stadium.
Yeah.
And then they switched it when it started getting one side. You know, this one probably would have been just as great if they put it over there. But, you know, now that it's been on TV, you know, we'll see how many people actually fill up the Eddie Westfield. But, you know, as we saw last year with the Servite game, it was full. And I think it will be rocking again on Friday night.
Yeah, maybe this game. Oh, go ahead, Scotty.
I was just going to say, yeah, I have Modern Day winning this one.
Yeah, and I think maybe this game could be headed back to Angel Stadium if that's the way the Servite program seems to be trending up. There's been some, you know, all the sophomores that are doing so well for Servite, where the Noah Fafita is a sophomore and T Mac McMillan's a sophomore, and the list goes pretty long. Where they had a couple guys starting on defense that are sophomores, Houston Thomas and. One of the guys that blocked the punt was a sophomore. There's about four or five. I think there's three.
Jacob Manu.
Yeah, he blocked the punt. He's a sophomore. I think Servite starts three sophomores on defense, and at least we know of a two on offense. So maybe the rivalry will get it back there. It'll be interesting to see how Modern Day's DBs play T-Mac. They saw what happened against with Bosco. Are they going to give him one on? They're going to go one-on-one and give it a go. That will be interesting. I'm sure the Modern Day DBs are going to want to go one-on-one and say, hey, we want to go with him. So that could be a pretty good matchup. Centers is pretty fast, and those crossing patterns can be tough. And I'm interested to see, you know, what everybody thinks about Noah. He's not a big guy, Noah Fafita, but he's got a nice arm. He does have a nice arm, and they have a good feel for the pass game. They just look comfortable. He gets some time from his line, and they have receivers, and they're not even using, at least the last game I saw. They're, you know, Jake Overman's a really good tight end. You throw him into the mix, but he wasn't really playing tight end, and they're not really featuring him, which I saw him during the summer, and he was, you know, big, good tight end running in there amongst everything else. But maybe in this particular game, he wasn't doing tight end. I know they have some key guys that go both ways. I think he's maybe playing some defense. He did go off with maybe an injury in that game as well. But he wasn't running. I didn't see him run many patterns or, you know, get targeted in too much against Bosco. I don't think he had a catch. So I've been interested about that. But I think it's going to be an entertaining game. That rivalry, I think, you know, Servite should be confident. But it's just putting it back to back is tough. The schedule, you know, can be demanding, right? Scotty, don't you think about that's one of the big challenges of the Trinity League, where it's, you know, it's tough when you have to play back to back the number one and number two teams in the country.
Yeah, and as I said, it's these are high school kids, and it's that, it's, you know, that emotional high. You know, I know it's easier said than done. You know, these kids they'll get right back in and they'll play it. Well, we saw last year, you know, how that modern day Bosco game, you know, that Saturday, that Friday night in that rain.
Yeah.
And those kids were just amped and juiced and ready, and that Saturday, that next day was all gone. It was totally different team, totally different, you know, and they just came out flat, you know, and that's what, you know, people say, well, why didn't they come out? You know, I don't know why they came out flat, what the difference was, you know, but that, like you said, they're high school kids. So, you know, this one's going to be that, you know, that same way. I think, you know, how long they can sustain that, you know, that high, you know, last year, Servite actually played modern day. I think last year was a 35.
Yeah, 35-0.
30 was, yeah. So, and even though it was 35-0, I think that it was similar to like the Olu game that modern day played this year. Like Servite battled. They made modern day fight for those points. You know, it never was put away early. You know, I think there was a touchdown. There was that game where Dollars scored the touchdown and he threw the ball that got popped out, you know, so that was one. But I know they didn't, modern day didn't march up and down the field as easy. And that was also a chippy game too. Now that's the other thing to watch out for too, because I remember that one was the flag fest. So we'll have to wait and, you know, watch that. You know, that's just a rivalry. But I don't, like I said, this, we'll see. And, you know, this demeanor that this modern day team is different than last year, you know, so. You know, we'll see if this one, hopefully this is just a good rivalry. They get up. A lot of these guys, you know, there's the OC Buckeye kids versus the OC Buckeye kids.
Yes.
So I think it's a little, you know, it's that friendly rivalry, even though I know they don't, you know, that technically it's, I think the fans make more of that, you know, animosity between each other than it is the kids. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. And a couple of, go ahead, Scotty.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, a couple of the Buckeyes from Servite, and you can break it down a little bit on modern day side, but Noah Fafita, T-Mac McMillan, they're Buckeyes, and I know you know, modern day's got some Buckeyes as well.
Yeah, so David Bailey's a Buckeye, Toa, Sione's a Buckeye, then there's Jaeger. Mosqueda, he's actually a backup linebacker. He's a Buckeye. Who else? Barkley, Elijah Barkley, he's a Buckeye. He's one of like this, but he's a sixth, you know, one of the sixth receivers. I think.
Did you mention CJ?
CJ was not a Buckeye.
Okay. But I know he was I've heard he was a classmate in intermediate school with, you know, we speak in a lot of T-Mac as a sophomore receiver. I think they were classmates in junior high. CJ Williams, a fine sophomore receiver in his own right for modern day and with T-Mac. So there's that rivalry too. There's another, you know, there's some other good sophomores on modern day as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and there are some that there are more Buckeyes that aren't actual, you know, starters that are in the you know, in the program, I should say. I mean, if I'm going down my list, Christian Patero, he's a Buckeye, but he didn't play with Fafita. He's a year younger. I named pretty much
Houston. Houston Thomas. He's a Buckeye too. So there's quite a few Buckeyes. I think the Buckeyes are practicing at Servite or something as well. So during the summer, you can see a couple Buckeye colors running around at some, you know, in the afternoon or something like that, or early evening or something.
Yeah,
So it's just going to add another dimension to the rivalry. So should be good. And Scotty, I think you're going to be checking that game out at the Santa Ana Bowl. So the podcast is in good hands with you at that game.
Yes, indeed. I'll be there. So I'll have all the firsthand action as always.
Yes, excellent. Well, Scotty, great job, man, breaking it down, giving your insight, and excellent job as always tonight, Scotty.
Well, as always, Dan, thank you, and you too. It's always, like I said, we could probably go on and on if we wanted to.
Well, it was a good night on the podcast. So for Scott Barajas, I'm Dan Albano. Thanks for listening to the Trinity League Football Podcast. And special thanks to Manny Alvarez for providing the audio on the interview with Sammy Green of J. Sarah.